And then, of course, one of the favorite arguments that has come up on the part of those who defend this procedure is Congress has no business dictating to doctors what procedures they should or shouldn't do. Well, you know who one of the prime people on the other side of this question is? Pat Schroeder from Colorado. Do you know that she is the prime sponsor of H.R. 941, the Federal Prohibition of Female Genital Mutilation Act? This is a procedure performed by medical people. And she's saying Congress should not allow this procedure to be done. It should be banned because, after all, it essentially constitutes, when done to little girls, a form of child abuse. Well, guess what we're saying about the partial birth abortion procedure? See, the fact that it's done by medical people does not mean that there is no place there for the law. The law regulates any human activity when that human activity is threatening to somebody else's human life. And that's the point. For these, some of these people to get up and say, well, we don't want to be regulating medicine because, after all, we don't have any medical expertise, although some of those in Congress do, is still beside the point. We're talking about a procedure which even the Supreme Court has admitted is different from any other medical procedure. The Supreme Court, in one of its abortion decisions, I believe in the Matheson decision, said that abortion is unique because it alone involves the purposeful termination of human life. So it's different from any, you know, usually a medical procedure is meant to help preserve life or to help the body to do something that it's supposed to do anyway. Abortion is just the opposite. It's not helping the body do something it's supposed to do. It's interfering with doing something the body is trying to do, preserve the life of that child. Not only that, but, you know, in the arguments that were brought forth before the court in Roe versus Wade, the argument was brought forth there, too, that this procedure was unique because it ended somebody's life. And one of the justices says, well, wait a minute now, other procedures could end somebody's life, like brain surgery. But you see, the point of the difference is what? The point of the difference is that if brain surgery ends someone's life, the operation was a failure. If an abortion ends someone's life, it was a success. And there's the key difference. And unfortunately, that distinction did not come up in the arguments in the court before Roe versus Wade. In fact, you ought to read the transcripts one of these days. They're available. And it's incredible, some of the things that were said at that time. What has been the response to this? I've already mentioned it to some extent because I've referred to the testimonies given in the United States Congress. But let me review a little bit of the history with you very briefly. A number of states have introduced and even passed legislation banning the partial birth abortion procedure. In Ohio, where Dr. Haskell lives and practices, the procedure actually was banned. But now that law, which was signed, is now caught up in the courts. This is a common pattern. Isn't it? Also the state of California, the state of New York, and as I just learned today, also the state of North Carolina, and a number of other states have introduced legislation, and it's at various stages, to ban partial birth abortion. So we can deal with it on a state level, as well as on a federal level. On the federal level, the legislation was introduced. Testimony was taken in June of 1995. It was voted on in November by the House. In November 95, the House of Representatives voted 288-139 to ban the procedure. Then it went to the Senate. December 7th, the Senate voted 54-44 to ban the procedure. And it's interesting to see in these votes, both in the House and in the Senate, how a number of those who have voted pretty consistently on the pro-abortion side have, in this case, voted on the pro-life side because, again, of what I said at the beginning, psychologically, this is more striking. It's like easier psychologically to see that this is wrong. And then again, the House took it up on March 27th, 1996, and approved the ban 286 to 129. The president, meanwhile, had been threatening to veto the ban. And one of the things that one of his spokespersons said was that the president saw this particular legislation as, let me see if I can get the exact quote here, as an erosion of a woman's right to choose. Well, in a sense, I'm glad that they said that, because if this is what a woman's right to choose means, then it's time that people know that. And this is where I said, again, where we have an advantage here, is that the reality finally breaks through the rhetoric. People saw those diagrams over C-SPAN. They saw the diagrams of this procedure over and above the objections of some on the other side who were saying, we ought not to show these. You know, that they actually had to take a vote in the House of Representatives. When Charles Kennedy from Florida got up and started, introduced this legislation, he had the diagrams, the medically accurate diagrams, and experts testified that they were medically accurate. Pat Schroeder and those on the pro-abortion side says, we object, this is a breach of decorum. It's not a breach of decorum that the thing actually happens, of course. That doesn't seem to be any breach of anything. But to show these pictures, well, they actually had to have a formal roll call vote. Now, common sense prevailed, and overwhelmingly the vote was, yes, show the diagram so we can see what we're talking about. But it just goes to show how far some people will go not to face the facts. But in any case, the president's position as stated by Press Secretary Mike McCurry on December 20th, 1995, was, quote, the president shares the view of many that it would represent an erosion of a woman's right to choose. End of quote. But the other reason that came up when he actually did veto it was that it didn't have an exception for the health of the mother. Now, one of the reasons why that exception would not be tolerable is because of what we already saw from Doe versus Bolton. The way that health is defined is so broad that you might as well not have a legislation banning it at all, because practically anything can get by. Before the president actually vetoed it, there was a historic candlelight vigil in front of the White House on April the 1st, attended by Cardinal Law, the head of the Bishop's Pro-Life Committee, Cardinal Hickey, the Archbishop of Washington, and a number of other church officials and individuals there. And then, of course, on April 10th, the president did veto this particular legislation. And when he did so, he brought forward these women who, as I say, the obstetrician that looked at their transcripts said that this partial birth abortion was not necessary for this. There was quick and strong reaction to the president's veto. In fact, historic reaction. And you may have seen the letter that all eight active United States cardinals together, in one letter, together with the head of the Bishops' Conference, Bishop Pila, sent to the president. Here are their signatures. Very, very strong letter. They mentioned the point about the health exception as essentially undoing the legislation. But they also mentioned some very important statistics, such as a February 1996 poll that shows that 78% of women voters say no to partial birth abortions. Another poll shows that 71% of the overall American public says no to this, and a majority of those who even call themselves pro-choice. So the letter was very, very powerful, and here's one of the most telling statements in this letter. As Catholic bishops and as citizens of the United States, we strenuously oppose and condemn your veto. In the coming weeks and months, each of us, as well as our bishops' conference, we'll do all we can to educate people about partial birth abortions. We will inform them that partial birth abortions will continue because you chose to veto H.R. 1833. There's no mistake here about what's being said. And one of the practical responses is a postcard campaign that will be taking place in the parishes, and hopefully every parish will tie into this. Postcards are now being distributed for late June of 96 to be sent to the Congress, to the Senate and to the House, urging them to override this particular veto. We also had a response from the Vatican. And you know, while the Vatican teaches constantly on these topics, it is rather unusual for the Vatican to actually take aim at the action of a specific head of state. But in this case, they did precisely that. And I have the statement here saying how they are fully supporting the position taken by the cardinals and by the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, that this decision to legalize this inhumane procedure morally and ethically imperils the future of a society which condones it. You know, there are only a handful of other circumstances in which the Vatican has expressly condemned actions of heads of state individually, namely Fidel Castro, Ayatollah Khomeini, and Saddam Hussein. Good company to be in. It's amazing what's going on. I mean, this is an historic moment. Now, brothers and sisters, the bottom line of this is, you and I oppose all destruction of life. Not only all abortions, but any destruction of any innocent human life. But this particular event is a wake-up call. We at Priests for Life have sent out a number of press releases on this particular topic. And most recently, I gathered together, I issued a statement, and I asked other pro-life leaders across the country to sign it. And I gathered together the signatures of over 100 national pro-life leaders. And we issued this statement, again, making a commitment to educate as many people as possible as to what this procedure is all about, and calling for an end to the myth that this is necessary to preserve a mother's life or health. But in the process of so doing, what we said in the statement was, we oppose consistently the destruction of all innocent human life. But this should be a serious wake-up call to all citizens. If we cannot reject partial birth abortion as wrong, what will we reject? If this does not disturb us, is there anything that will? It's almost like, you know, this is the final test. Can we actually, you know, in our society, look at this and still say either it's okay or I don't care? Brothers and sisters, I think that there are still enough people in America who do care. Oh, there are some who will look at this and say, I don't care. But I think there's still enough who do. And it's going to depend on our taking every opportunity to help them to see what is going on and to challenge injustice in this form, and then to use this as an opportunity to say, hey, let's look at the other forms of destruction of life as well and see that in fact they aren't any better. And at this particular point, let's just ask the Lord's blessing on us and on our particular work. Lord, we, in thinking and talking about these things, deeply feel the need to turn to you for healing. We feel the need to turn to you for protection and for grace. Assist us, assist our nation, assist our leaders, assist our church, assist the medical profession, assist people who are in difficult pregnancies, assist all of us. to have the courage to do what is right and good. Help us, O Lord, not to allow these things, but help us rather to point the way to a path of love, love which says yes to life, love which conquers difficulties by doing what is right. And help us all to do our part in bringing an end to these unspeakable evils, while at the same time doing so, O Lord, with as much peace, with as much confidence, with as much humility and joy as you yourself are ready to give to us. We open our hearts and souls to you today and every day. Keep us moving forward in this great cause of life. For you are Lord forever and ever.
You have just been listening to Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Priests for Life is an officially recognized association in the Catholic Church and maintains close contact with the Bishop's Pro-Life Office and Diocesan Respect Life coordinators. The goal of Priests for Life is to motivate every priest and deacon in America to take a more vocal and active role in the pro-life movement. But Priests for Life is not just for the clergy. The laity are encouraged to join as auxiliary members. Priests for Life publishes a regular newsletter and offers homily materials, videos, and audio tapes. Pro-life training seminars are available to clergy and laity as well. For more information, please write to Father Frank Pavone, Priests for Life, P.O. Box 141172, Staten Island, New York, 10314, or call 914-937-8243. Priests for Life also has an email address, pfl@ix.netcon.com. That's pfl@ix.netcon.com. We are now on the World Wide Web. Our website address is http://www.priestsforlife.org. Again, that's http://www.priestsforlife.org.